Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 177 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake. I'm joined by Jacob exclusively this evening. How are you?
Howdy do, partner.
I'm pretty well. I'm very busy with school. My last day of the year is on Thursday.
Wow, that's exciting.
And between now and then, all hell is breaking loose. Countless projects, work on top of that, cog stuff on top of that. I'll definitely die before Thursday, but
in some parts of the world, hell is actually coming to be because just California is just being set on fire.
It's engulfed in flames daily at the moment. So yeah. Brutal.
So hell on earth.
Yeah, literally.
As we see it.
So yeah, hopefully that's taken care of as swiftly as possible. Holy crap. We're going to, that air is so loud. I almost just quit the podcast. It was so loud. Let's take a moment of silence now for California and all the men and women fighting those fires over there and pray that they prevail in vanquishing it. How about that?
Yes.
Sorry, that pause would have been over moments ago or quite a while ago, but Jacob's coffee made a noise, so I had to extend it.
Garrett, there's no video this week.
There isn't, no. We're just voices this week, unfortunately. I don't have time to edit the video. I don't have the time to invest in editing the video after this because, one, this is an entire day late, which really sucks. It was physically impossible for me to get home in time to record with Preston Sunday night, and I arguably don't have time to be doing this now. I'm actually sacrificing roughly 2.5 to 3 hours of sleep for this, which really sucks ass.
But I think our community does, too.
But regardless, I'm glad to be here. I'd much rather be doing this than sleeping anyway, if I'm being honest. And if I can make it through Thursday, I'll have plenty of time to invest in It's Obvious Gaming. How exciting is that?
That's really exciting.
Yeah, it's always like week 5 to the end of every school quarter. I have just no time for anything. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, I live to do this another day. It's good to be back, though. 177.
It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in, what, was it only been a week?
What was last week's podcast like? I don't remember. Were we all remote?
All three of us were remote. I was here with you, and then Preston was remote.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't even remember.
It was the first time that you talked about Red Dead on the podcast.
Okay, that's right. Now I remember. Cool. Yeah, it's good to be back, Jacob. We got plenty of Red Dead questions to get to. And
yeah, I saw. We had a lot of questions this week.
Yeah, so we'll have some fun ones to talk about.
Is your eye okay?
That wild western hit. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Sometimes I get those eye itches and they're a pain.
They never end either.
Yeah.
It's like just a relentless cycle of rubbing your eyeball. Anyway, how was your week?
Great. I had a good week. I spent a lot of time reflecting this week just on life and things going on in my life.
I reflected a bit myself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was quite, what's the right word? Illuminating? Perhaps
that or enlightening, maybe.
Yeah, enlightening, that's a good word too. Yeah, just kind of taking in a lot of things right now and processing what, you know, the next steps forward are.
Have you officially decided you identify as a water buffalo?
Yeah.
Okay,
you got me.
Okay.
I was gonna say it for the end of the podcast, but yes, I am.
So you are officially
buffalo.
Jacob the water buffalo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how I have those buns of steel.
Yeah.
Buffalo of. Yeah.
Strong buns? Buffalo do?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
No, I made that up. I mean, I assume they do. Okay. You know?
I mean, they are some big
buffalo
animals. Now, are you going to run among the buffalo, or are you just going to be a buffalo that lives as you normally do, but you're just a buffalo now?
Yeah, it's kind of like Octodad. I was going to say Octopath Traveler. Octodad. Okay. You know, that game with the octopus. He's just a regular dad, you know?
But he's an octopus.
Yeah. See, I'm just going to be myself. No one's going to even realize that I'm a water buffalo. It's just important that everyone in our community knows.
It's not quite like on that guy who's trying to legally identify as a younger age than he is, like 20 years younger.
Yeah.
That's pretty bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
I think identifying as a water buffalo is far more normal than that.
You think?
Yeah, so.
Am I the first to do it?
As a water buffalo?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, perhaps. There might be others like you out there. So
you
I hope you find another water buffalo.
I think I will. I think I've inspired people today to, you know, you can be whatever you want to be.
You really can.
If you want to be a water buffalo, then come join me.
Yeah.
But besides that, I've been watching The Punisher this week.
Did you finish it?
I am on episode 11, episode 12 of 13. So I'm pretty much almost there. Show's really good. Is this the show that you were talking about when you mentioned that there were a lot of bad, like, green screen effects in the show? Because I know that we were talking about a show, a Marvel show. And you had a lot of complaints
I can't think of a Marvel TV show that has bad green screen. There's a lot of Marvel movies that have horrible visual effects.
Okay. Well, I've just noticed like some really bad green screen in The Punisher. Okay.
I don't remember much of The Punisher. I remember like the first episode and the last episode is all I remember.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And it was kind of weird. Like I kind of lined it up with Veterans Day unintentionally. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of, you know, military stuff in the show. And it was just like a good reminder of, you know, what we should be thankful for in our country.
The Punisher kicking ass.
Yeah, The Punisher, exactly. but yeah, it's a good show. I'm enjoying it. I wanted to watch that before I started the new season of Daredevil. So that's why I'm watching Punisher.
Cool.
And after that, I'll have watched everything but the new season of Daredevil. And I am jumping right into that next.
You got a real treat ahead of you there.
You were one of several people that have told me great things.
Yeah. I'm knee deep in Castlevania season 2 at the moment.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's great. I like it a lot. Animation's awesome. Even the opening title sequence is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to continue that.
How far in are you?
I'm only in episode 2.
Okay.
So
of the new season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I get to watch that show for about 5 minutes a week, unfortunately.
Hey, only
again, if I can get through Thursday, I'll have a lot more time.
There you go. But yeah, and besides that, I've just been playing games and working out, you know, the usual biz for me.
Cool.
But
now, when you mentioned you had been reflecting a lot of things, were you going to mention something specifically or are you just general?
No, I was just, generalizing. Sorry, I didn't mean to make it sound as if I was announcing something.
Yeah. Besides the water buffalo thing.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That was what I wanted to announce.
All right. That's definitely the highlight of the podcast.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing. Thank you for having the courage to share.
Yeah. It took a lot. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for giving a platform to announce that.
Yeah. This platform is yours just as much as it is mine. So.
I know. But,
except for Preston. I hate that guy.
Yeah. Where is he anyway?
He's out of town.
Oh. Yeah, he's out of town again.
He's traveling for work again. So he can't be with us.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I've been playing games this week. You want to hear about them?
I would like to hear them.
It's the same two I've been playing the last couple weeks. Call of Duty Blackout.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
You need to play it, Garrett. Join me. We can get some wins together.
I was thinking of, do you have to get up for work in the morning super early?
Yes.
Okay. Never mind.
Not super early, but I have to get up in the morning to work, yeah.
Okay. I have to get up at 5. So I was going to ask if you wanted to play a little bit tonight. I was going to neglect my sleep in part of one of my projects to just have some me time. Because I haven't had any me time in like 6 weeks. So I was thinking of just maybe dabbling in some Blackout for a little bit.
I mean, I would prefer if you slept. Because you're only getting,
sleep 5 hours? Sleep is so lame, dude.
It's important, Garrett.
Yeah, whatever.
Might hate it, but it's really important.
Yeah, well, I'll get it after Thursday. I'll hibernate.
No, you won't.
No, I have like 8,000 games to play too after Thursday.
Yeah.
And sadly, not all of them are for pleasure.
Yeah, don't even fool yourself and think you're going to get more sleep. You're a man that doesn't like to sleep.
No, that's part of it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so you play Blackout and Red Dead?
Yeah, I play more Red Dead.
Okay.
I feel like I'm playing a lot of Red Dead, but I'm just not progressing very fast. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm at the end of chapter 4 now.
I wish I could have done that.
Yeah, I've been in Saint Denis for quite a while. Awesome city. Mm-hmm. Love it. All the questing and the story involved in that city is really cool. Even the side missions in that city are great. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying all of them. I'm just really enjoying the game. Some big story moments are happening right now, and it's really pulling me in. So I'll probably go home and play more of that tonight after we wrap this up.
Jealous. I might actually.
If we don't play Blackout.
Yeah, if you're not going to hop on Blackout, I'm going to play a little Hunt Showdown. It's been a while. I want to play the new map.
You let me know when you get on, and if I'm still up, I'll play with you.
Okay. My prediction is that I'll be on roughly an hour after we wrap this podcast.
I should probably be on.
Okay, cool.
Or I can be on.
Sweet, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. Will this be your first match of Blackout?
No, it'll be... No, I mean, we play the beta and stuff a lot.
Right.
It'll be my fifth match on PC.
Okay.
So.
I look forward to it.
I imagine there's been some sort of meta established since it launched.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, well, can you describe it to me a little bit?
Right now?
Yeah, why not?
So snipers are really good. If you can get a hold of a sniper, you have a big advantage. ARs are typically the best all-around gun.
Anyone uses a submachine gun is an idiot. I'm sorry.
If that's what you have when the match starts, you know, that's you get that and you kill people. That's what you got. But it's, you know, you typically do drop the sub because it doesn't have any range.
It's a dinky little pea shooter.
But shotguns are pretty good. You know, mm-hmm. if you can have like an AR and a shotgun and run around with that for the match.
Especially
it's
indoors.
A solid loadout. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Level 3 armor is still as good as it was in the beta. I can't really like... They took out Nine Bangs. You remember Nine Bangs from the beta?
I do.
Well, they were really overpowered in Blackout, so they kind of just removed them from the mode. So you have concussions and you have the clusters, and the clusters are the ones that you throw. It detonates, then it like springs out into like six other tiny detonations, and it's like a secondary explosion. So that's probably the strongest grenade. So you like having those. Of course, you want the backpack. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. There's not a whole lot of things changed from the beta, and it's a pretty solid experience. If I do say so myself, I've had quite a lot of fun playing it. My favorite gun would probably be. Like my favorite loadout, Garrett, if I had the Outlaw Sniper with a good scope on it, and I really like the KN, the AK.
Okay.
It's a solid gun.
I haven't learned the names of any guns yet.
Yeah. You'll learn slowly.
I'm like, oh, this rifle that kind of looks like an AK. This rifle that I think I've used in multiplayer a couple times.
Yeah. Also, the Vapor and the Matic are good ARs. So if you see any of those when we play tonight, pick them up.
Alrighty. I'll do that.
Yeah.
You gonna take me to victory, Jacob? Swift victory?
I'm gonna try.
I believe in you.
We will see.
I feel safe with you, I'll say that.
Yeah?
It's not every day I can play Battle Royale with a water buffalo. How do you play with your hooves, by the way?
I don't reveal my secrets, Garrett.
You just smash the hell out of your keyboard and mouse and just hope for the best?
It seems to work for me.
Okay. Hooves.
So what about you? Have you played any, done anything exciting this week? Play any games?
Well, I'm trying to, I had a couple, this is kind of a funny story, so.
Okay.
Smissel Bar hosted both a literal freak show and the guitar player named John Five this past week. Now, a little story behind John Five. I didn't know who this guy was until he showed up.
But you're just going to say a literal freak show and not talk about it?
I'm going to talk about it. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. So John Five was the headliner. John Five is the former guitar player for Marilyn Manson, or one of his most famous guitar player, and he has now been the guitar player for Rob Zombie for... close to 13, 14 years, something like that now.
Okay.
Maybe longer. And he does a bunch of solo stuff too. So he was doing his solo tour at the moment. So really awesome guitar player. Super nice guy too. I ran monitors for him. But anyway, the freak show opened for him. They're called like the Circus something. And now part of that freak show had the famous Lizard Man a part of it. You ever seen the Lizard Man before?
No.
You haven't heard of the Lizard Man?
I feel like I've heard of him.
Okay, because Lizard Man's been, I guess, underground famous for a really long time.
Okay.
And like he was on Ripley's Believe It or Not, like way back in the day on TV and stuff. So he's always kind of been like a thing, but he was part of it. And it was just funny because he was part of this show and I helped him load in and out of this building. And he's a lizard. It's just funny. I've seen this guy on TV and the internet and like random articles here and there for the past 15 years. And now here I am just helping him load some amps into this venue all this time after.
So tell me about this guy. Why is he a lizard? Like
he has a fully tattooed body, like lizard scales.
Okay.
I think his eyes are some kind of weird thing. He has all these crazy piercings. He has implants in his head and he has a split tongue, like a lizard tongue.
Gotcha.
So it's pretty gnarly, yeah. But there's a half man there. His name was Shorty.
Uh-huh.
I'm not making fun of the guy, but this was so funny. I walk in and I was so confused. So I walk in, there's this man who's just a torso, head, and long arms, and he's walking around with his arms. And I was like, what the hell? So I'm like, what's happening here? And there's a bunch of, you know, the lizard man's there and all these crazy looking people. And I was so confused because I didn't know they would host like a freak show because they didn't play music. They just did all these stunts and everything. So I'm like, what's happening
in
here?
On a tiny stage?
Yeah, yeah. So I walk in to the other sound guy and he's like, hey, man, this is Shorty. And I look down and the guy with his torso and arms is like, hey, how's it going? And he puts his hand up and he's balancing on one hand. I'm like, wow, yeah. That's impressive. I shook his hand and they call him Shorty. And
that guy's got to have dirty hands because he walks on him.
Yeah, he did a bunch of stunts too. But, you know, you look at this guy.
Did he have shoes on his hands?
No. He didn't have gloves on either. He was raw dogging it across the floor.
Wow.
So you got to wonder... like, what's this guy's deal? Like, how did he get that way? And like, how does he pee? How does he poop? Like, I know these are really morbid, probably rude questions to think about the man, but you got to ask, like, I almost feel like his act would be more interesting if instead of doing stunts, he just answered questions from the crowd.
Yeah. Did you ask him these questions?
No, I wouldn't dare ask him. Of course, I was very respectful to the guy, but, and pretended like he wasn't cut in half, but that's like his whole act when he's on stage.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. There's a guy who swallowed swords. There's a guy who ate fire. So it's an interesting.
What
did
the lizard
night.
Guy do?
He just told really sexual jokes the whole time.
Oh.
About just being like a horny lizard.
Okay.
So I think he put a condom on his head at one point.
Nice.
So he's a weird. I didn't really pay
attention.
That's
where condoms go on heads.
Yeah, he's always in a form of a head. Yeah. So I was doing homework the entire time. So I would occasionally glance over and this lizard man putting condoms on himself. I'm like, all right then. So that was kind of funny. other than that, I did play some games myself.
Okay.
I put out my.
Wait, so that wasn't a game, what you just described?
No, that I was not. Believe it or not, that was not a video game. But I played a little more Red Dead and finally put out my feature called 10 of My Favorite Things to Do in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Ooh.
And I sort of treated it as a way to tie up loose ends in the review. The thing about the Red Dead review is that I'm not totally happy with it because it was so rushed that I didn't have nearly enough time to like really let my thoughts sink in and like really put my thoughts together. I mean, I think the review's fine. Like, it gets the point across.
Did you get good feedback?
Yeah, it's fine. It's funny because the comments on the video review are overwhelmingly positive, but I have a theory about this. The reason why they're overwhelmingly positive is for two reasons. Three reasons. First and foremost, it was roughly 24 hours before the game launched, so hype is through the roof for everyone. Everyone's dying to see the game, to play the game, to hear about the game. They want to hear good things. Secondly, I'm telling them everything they're hoping to hear. I'm telling them, this is cool. That's cool. I'm not making any of it up. This is how I actually feel. I'm like, this is cool. That's cool. This is awesome. Blah, 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 blah. So that's exactly what they want to hear. Plus, it's just edited well. It's exciting to watch because I go out of my way to make things look like it's fun to watch. So all of those things combined, people are like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. But when you really break down what I'm saying, it's really not that profound. I'm just saying like, oh, this is cool. That's cool. When I still have so much more to say. That I can't say because most of it's spoiler stuff, but I literally had maybe 12 hours to write everything, and then I had another 10 to record the VO and then edit the video and have it out in time for embargo. And I told you, I uploaded the video 20 minutes before the embargo lifted. That's how close I was cutting it. And it wasn't just like that for me. I mean, every outlet was just cramming to get it done in time. So it kind of bummed me out that I didn't really get all my thoughts out there, but in a way, I sort of included some more things I left out of the review, like hunting specifically. I went a little more in depth on bounty hunting.
I haven't done like any bounty hunting.
Bounty hunting is some of the best stuff in the game, man. Yeah. It's awesome. It's very good.
Okay.
But a lot of ridiculous stuff too. I wanted to be kind of stupid. Like I do intentional wipeouts. Have you seen this video?
Hmm.
It's kind of funny.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I intentionally wipe out my horse off the sides of cliffs and stuff sometimes because it just looks hilarious.
Do you stay on the horse or you jump off?
Yeah, I stay on the horse. I talk about sucker punching random people, harassing the locals, petting dogs, and then killing their owners so I can pet the dogs longer and stuff.
Wow.
So it's pretty morbid in some places, but it was a fun video to make.
Hmm.
So I had a lot of fun with that. That was the bulk of my video game stuff this week. But in addition to that, I dabbled in the Spider-Man DLC Part 1, The Heist, finally, a little bit. And I think I just need to play a bit more of it, but I'm not totally blown away with it yet. Now, granted, in its defense, I've only played one mission, and I've seen some of the side stuff you can do.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing kept happening. I don't know if this is happening for everyone. I assume it is, where it changes from night to day, like every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like maybe I've done more than one story mission. Maybe I've done two or three, but it changes from night to day constantly. Like, I obviously have to do all the Black Cat stuff at night.
Maybe she's changing the time of day.
Maybe that's her superpower.
Yeah.
But as soon as the mission's over, it goes back to daytime. I swing to the next mission and it goes back to night and then goes back to day, back to night. I get that's trying to make maybe simulate like, oh, this is happening over a period of days, but it's just very jarring. It has to load every time it does that. So it's kind of annoying me. But of course, the gameplay is fantastic. I love Spider-Man. And Black Cat seems really cool so far. So awesome performance from that actress. So that's all I played, unfortunately, until hopefully you and I get to dabble in. Oh, excuse me. I'm so burpy right now. I told you I had too many chicken tenders before this podcast.
Tendies are good.
I'm like a bloated potbelly pig. But unless we play Blackout, that was everything I played.
Gotcha, man.
So
I haven't like touched Spider-Man at all. Like, I finished the main story and that's it. There's so much side stuff I didn't do.
Yeah, I love that game a lot. It's a fun platinum.
It's fun to play.
It's a very satisfying platinum, I'd say. I mostly just web-swinged around in the DLC.
It's hard not to just swing around sometimes. Yeah. You just have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, I heard someone on Discord said the latest update, which I did see, was installing recently. lets you remove the HUD. So maybe after Thursday, I'll crank out that cinematic web swinging video for pleasure.
That was something you wanted to do.
I do. Maybe I'll release it right around the time part two of the DLC launches. That way people are kind of sort of talking about Spider-Man again.
Yeah.
Might be a good window to release it.
Maybe.
So yeah.
You have to keep us updated on that.
Oh, I will, Jacob. You can count on that. But that's all I played, my friend.
Wow.
You want to jump
that's not very
news?
Much, but I'm glad you at least got to play something.
Yeah. Totally.
But hey, man, what's the news?
Dude, well, speaking of that DLC.
Should we talk about what this podcast is, though?
I mean, we can, but I don't remember what to say. Other than this is the It's Obvious podcast, where my best friends and I gather every single week to discuss video games and other things. If you're listening to this anywhere on youtube.com/itsobviousgaming, that is where our home base is. And we encourage you to stop by and subscribe if you're willing, because this holiday season specifically, even starting on Thursday, perhaps we'll be having some content flowing to the channel, notably with some Blackout stuff. I imagine that'll be fun. Definitely some Fallout content, probably a little Spyro on my end, and some other things. And again, the cinematic web swing video I've been wanting to make for a long time for Spider-Man, you can count on that.
I forgot Spyro's coming out soon.
Yep. So subscribe for those reasons if that interests you at all. Mm-hmm. Other than that, though, this podcast is available on every streaming service you can possibly imagine, at least all the big ones, with the exception of Google Play. I'm pretty sure Google Play abolished podcasts off their service, unfortunately. So we're on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Audio Boom, and multiple other services that you probably don't listen to. But we're out there. Anyway, let's jump into the news.
Yeah.
Part two of the DLC comes out on November 20th for Spider-Man, by the way. Which is fairly soon. That's 8 days away. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, the 13th, then that is 7 days away.
They're really cranking this out, man.
Yeah. And I think part three comes out in December. So I'm sure we'll get I get the feeling we'll get more DLC for Spider-Man early next year.
Think so?
Mm-hmm. I think we'll get a little bit more.
Okay. Maybe they're just pushing it out to, you know, begin something new.
I don't know. But I got a good feeling about it.
Okay.
At least we have New Game Plus. I played the opening mission of New Game Plus as well, I meant to say, and it was awesome.
Yeah, nice.
So, it's totally
How
cool,
hard
dude.
Was it?
It's not hard at all. I'm not playing on a hard difficulty.
Oh, okay.
I've heard it's not very hard anyway, but I'm not in them. Like I told you, I'm so busy, I don't have time to be challenged at the moment, so.
Gotcha.
Anyway. We mentioned Red Dead Redemption 2, Jacob. It has sold, as of several days ago, 17 million copies.
Whoa!
That's quite a lot, and it's a short time it's been out. So
yeah, that's a lot of copies.
No surprise there either, but congrats to Rockstar, and that's just that many more people to play with in the Red Dead Online beta that's starting at the end of this month. Not an exact date yet, and of course I'll say that, and then this podcast will come out, and hours later they'll say the exact date.
Yeah.
But as of recording this, there is no exact date, just that we know it's coming at the end of the month. And I'm excited to try it because I've thought about how much I love being in that world, and then experiencing that world with my friends online sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Building up my own camp online, but it eventually becomes maybe like a homestead of some sort, and having my own cattle and horses all online.
Yeah.
Customizing my guns, and of course going on heists like bank robberies and stuff, and doing bounty hunts online. All of this sounds really awesome.
Yeah,
so I just want more Red Dead, and I think having a different take on it and in the online version of the world sounds like a lot of fun. So,
and you got to think they've learned and improved a lot of things from GTA Online that will probably be implemented into this.
Maybe, yeah. And you got to think about the interactivity side of things too, with the NPCs and everything, how that will play into the online version of the world.
True.
Because I know Grand Theft Auto Online has evolved immensely since it first launched, obviously, and it's still a massive success. Like it's still just as, if not more popular than it is when it first launched. So it's like an overwhelming success story. And I imagine they're hoping to, at some point, replicate that with Red Dead Online. I don't think it'll ever be as big as GTA, because GTA is just far more appealing to mass audiences, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas Westerns, obviously, as we've discussed, is a niche for most people.
A lot of people bought this game, though.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, Grand Theft Auto, I think, has sold well over 100 million copies at this point, so that's just unfathomable. But, again, it is Rockstar, so it's always going to be successful. But regardless, I'm very excited to get into that, so that's pretty cool.
I think it's also important to note that this game has already outsold the lifetime sales of
the first game,
RDR1. Yeah.
That also doesn't surprise me, but that's still amazing to think about that concept, so that's cool. But I figure while we're talking about Red Dead, maybe we should just knock out the majority of the Red Dead questions now. You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay, might as well do it while we're on topic. It looks like the first one comes from Josh Scriber. Josh says, "Hey guys, hope you all had a productive week balanced with Red Dead 2. Do you all think that Call of Duty versus Battlefield..." Okay, maybe this isn't about Call of Duty. Just kidding. We're going to come back to that, Josh, in the actual community questions. He just said Red Dead 2 in the opening sentence. We'll start with Squishies. Minor spoiler here. Skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to hear it. It doesn't have anything to do with the story. None of the characters, none of the story. Just a location of the game that I think most people are already aware is in the game, but some people may not want to hear this.
Okay.
So skip ahead 30 seconds. Squishy asks, we skipped over this last week. "I'm now on the road and not in 1899 America, but instead 2018 Iceland, thinking warmly of my video game equivalent of a wet dream, Saint-Denis. Or Saint-Denis, if you prefer."
Saint-Denis.
Yeah. Hell right, I want to go to Saint-Denis.
Hell right, brother. Yeah.
"But I was wondering if any of you boys had ventured down to New Austin and seen the changes made from the first Red Dead. If yes, negative or positive changes?" Squishy, I didn't venture down there until... At least I didn't attempt to venture down there until way later in the game. I'm not going to say specifically where, because that is a spoiler. But upon exploring it, I couldn't tell how much was different. Because, I haven't had much time to actually explore it much, aside from just reviewing the game and doing those videos. But from what I have seen, it looks almost exactly the same, just up-resed. And of course, it's been rebuilt from the ground up for this game. But it looks awesome. It was very nostalgic to experience it again, too. And just to think about John's journey when he ends up in that part of the country and everything is cool to think about.
I have no idea what's going on.
So, yeah, the first game is still excellent, but you'll get a minor hint towards that later on in the game, I'm sure.
Is this the epilogues?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've been down there. It's awesome. Very nostalgic.
Hmm.
Let's see. Aaron Cantu also writes in and says,
"Ooh.
What up, peeps?
What up?
I'm going to throw in another Red Dead question because it's really effing long, so it's still going to be relevant when you read this or when you see this. What is your funniest, most ridiculous moment so far in the game? Lately, I've been role-playing as a badass master hunter. I was on my way to the trapper. I'm riding my warhorse, a legendary partner pelt, and a few alligator skins on the back. As I arrive, I drift my horse to prove my badassness to that old man. Instead, I hit a rock, flew face first into a tree, and then for the next 5 minutes, I'm suddenly Velma from Scooby-Doo looking all around on the ground for my fresh pelts." That's pretty humiliating, but I can relate to stories like that myself.
Oh, yeah. I've tumbled off my horse several times.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny every time.
It's hilarious.
But you also feel awful because your horse is...
Yeah,
because
I don't want to hurt my little horse. Yeah. So, yeah, horse wipeouts, like I said, as part of that video I did, are just so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, most ridiculous moments. That's the thing. I've played the game so much that I'd have to, like, really think hard about it. Let me pull up my notes here and see.
Is he talking about just, like, things that have happened to us or just, like, funny moments in the game?
Things you've either done intentionally or just ridiculous things that have happened while you're playing?
Good, because I think, like, a lot of the cutscenes are funny, too, just a lot of the characters in the game. But I know that's different.
Have anything written down about crazy stuff that's happened.
Oh, you don't have any stories?
You'd think with a game of that caliber, I'd have, but just off the top of my head, be like, oh, this happened, but I can't think of anything at the moment.
You did rush to play through the game.
I did.
I
pushed a guy off a cliff one time. It was kind of funny.
Really?
He was just standing there. I'm sure you guys have seen this, moment if you pass by this part of the map. There's this guy looking over the side of a cliff. He's like, this guy crashed his carriage and fell down the side of the cliff. You see it all destroyed down the cliff, and there's like a dead body down there.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that's really sad. And I just walk, and this is my second playthrough I did this. I walk up to the guy and just shove him off the cliff, and he screams and falls like 100 feet, and you just hear him splat. It was kind of a bastard moment. It wasn't really ridiculous, just kind of douchey.
Yeah. I've fed several people to alligators.
Nice.
Just because I could.
See, I tried to do that, and the alligator wouldn't eat who I was feeding to it.
Oh, you...
It just looked at the person.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it was just a glitch.
Yeah, maybe try it again.
Oh, maybe I will.
I didn't have any trouble doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't really, like, go out and try to do, like, crazy stuff. You know, yeah. I'm just playing through the story right now.
Yeah, I hate to say it, man. I can't think of anything. I mean, of course, I've had 1,000 things happen to me, but can't remember.
Yeah, maybe it'll come to me later.
Perhaps.
That was a good question, though. Sorry we can't do it justice.
Yeah. Justice. I'm sure anyone in the comments has ridiculous stories. If you want to hear them, please share them.
Yep.
Let's see. Here's one from our Australian friend down under. One of many Australian friends, Gigalagaki.
Oh.
He says, hello, boys.
Hey, man.
But in his accent, it'd be like, hello, boy.
Is that his accent?
Yeah, he's Australian.
Oh, wow.
It's coming from the land
it's
down
a powerful
under.
Voice.
He says, I hope you all are magnificent today. Like most IOGs, I've been heavily entrenched in Red Dead Redemption 2. As of late, I'm finding one universal truth in this game. The more that the game's setting and world prove their realism to me, the more the AI and controls pull me out of that immersion. My question is, are you finding Red Dead Redemption 2's world so expertly crafted that it shines a fucking spotlight on any inconsistency slash failing in its systems, or are you managing to keep the suspension of disbelief at agreeable levels? I find myself struggling to buy into the game's depiction of civilization the further I get in. I find more reasons to believe in this world at the same pace that I am reminded harshly that it is a game built on a... I can't read from here. Fallible? Systems? Fallible? I can't read from here, Jacob, sorry.
Let me see.
Apologies
the
for the essay. So keen to hear your thoughts. Peace.
Well... What do you think?
No, I don't really have much to say.
Okay. I don't really feel that way. I mean, yeah, it's a game. It's only
I think it depends on what you're playing on. No, he's not talking about glitches. He's just talking about...
Yeah, no, I'm saying like, yeah, it's a game. Of course, it's not like completely realistic. There's going to be things that make it... That's going to gamify it.
I know what he's saying. I mean, there's been a couple times where I'll save someone, for example, and they'll be like, Mister, thank you so much. And Arthur will just stare at him for 30 whole seconds. And finally, he'll be like, yeah, no problem at all. Like, that'll be an inconsistency. Yeah,
sometimes the interactions won't be like, you know,
another
how they
time
should be.
Will be this one guy, his horse escaped him. And I went and captured the horse. But I guess it got too far away to the point where the guy forgot that I rescued his horse. Because it took me forever to capture it. I bring it all the way back to the guy. And the guy acted like hey. I never did anything, and it, like the horse didn't belong to him or anything.
You like interact with him, he's like, howdy, partner.
Yeah, exactly. So he just acted like nothing had happened. So it's typically with doing stuff like that, it'll goof sometimes, but 99% of the time, it's really solid for me.
Is that like really important though? Like at the end of the day, like it's
I mean,
game,
it's important
right?
that it's consistent, which it, for me, it usually is consistent.
Right, but still, like this game more than any other game, like there are those moments that make it feel like special because certain things happen, right?
For sure,
that do make it like more realistic. But I don't know. I'm not really like finding myself like being taken out of the experience because of those kind of moments. I just when they do happen, like when the good moments happen, I just appreciate it more. And compared to pretty much any other open world game, it's, you know, far and above most things that other games do.
For sure.
So,
yeah. And it's just unbelievable how many details are in that game. And I'm always most impressed by AI in most games, especially this one for obvious reasons. And I'm always blown away when people comment on certain things you're wearing or how your hair looks. Or if you're dirty or if you're clean. And the people that remember if you punch them or said something mean to them, they always remember. Mm. Even with the animals, as simple as that is, they'll remember you if you've pet them before. So that's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, everyone loves my horse. They just give me so many praises about my horse.
What kind of horse do you have?
It's the black one you buy at Saint Denis. It's
nice.
I love it.
That's a good looking horse, boy.
I named it Night Night.
Night Night?
Yeah.
Nice.
No reason. I just thought it sounded nice.
I think it's fitting.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you.
Gigalagaki, I totally see where you're coming from. I've had a few inconsistencies like that, but it doesn't bother me. I'm sure it doesn't bother you either, but it doesn't really take me that much out of it because the whole time, even as blown away as I am by it, I am still aware it's a video game at all times.
Yeah.
So, but it is super immersive. It is easily the most immersive game world I've ever played in. So
I think I heard someone else say this, and I think I agree. I think this is the best game world ever made, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Witcher still has the best quests.
Yeah, I would say that for sure.
And like character development, I really like Witcher for that. Of course, I haven't played through all the way of Red Dead. So
I do think Red Dead has better character development, but I would say there are more memorable quests in Witcher than there are Red Dead.
Gotcha.
So
Thank you for your question.
But there are some amazing ones in Red Dead. And many that have yet to come for you.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited.
Yeah. Getsum writes in and says, "Hello there, you wacky tacky arm flailing inflatable tube men." Cowboy down south accent. Oh, hello there, you wacky tacky arm flailing inflatable tube man. Quick tangent real quick before I continue this question. I was watching a documentary now last night with Casey. Ever seen that show?
No.
Has a couple of the guys from SNL, you'd recognize them.
Okay.
Bill Hader's one of them, and the other guy from Portlandia. Anyway, I'd seen this episode before, but I hadn't seen it in so long. It's just hilarious about, I won't go into too much detail, but it's essentially, it's a mockumentary about a murder mystery. And there's this guy who is just a total idiot. And there's this part where he's in a courtroom eating a box of chocolates. And he's just like this annoying character where he's eating a chocolate and he would say what each flavor is. He'd be like, "Oh, this one's cherry," or like, "Oh, this one's peach."
Yeah.
And it cuts to this detective who was telling his recount of this event at the court case. And the way he said this line was just so funny to me. He's like, "I wish someone would have looked at him and said, 'Don, cool it with the chocolates.'" The way he says, "Cool it with the chocolates," is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Because it's reminded me of my grandma for some reason.
Yeah. Why does it remind you of your grandma?
Because she would say, "Cool it with this" or "Cool it with that" when I was a kid. When he said, Don, cool it with the chocolates. It was like the funniest thing I'd ever heard.
That's funny.
Anyway, that's super random and way off topic, but Getsum continues and says, "I have a darn right scoot tootin' serious question right here, yonder." Normal, impressive, sexy actor's voice from Garrett. Now, this is primarily for Garrett, but since it is Red Dead related, it goes out to Buddy. I don't think he meant to say Buddy, but I like saying Buddy anyway.
I think he did.
It looks like a blatant, maybe he did say Buddy. But yeah, it looks like Airy Buddy, maybe, instead.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he did.
Intentional?
Yeah.
Okay, Buddy. What are your all's thoughts on the potential idea of Red Dead Online having a game mode like Hunt Showdown? Now this is my kind of question right here, Jacob.
Yeah, I see.
Seeing as it is the environmental setting and the first-person mode and potential zombies involved. I love that idea. There are still rumblings that Red Dead might have some sort of battle royale mode. I already know what the first complaint is going to be. The controls suck! So anytime anyone dies, I'm going to be like, "Well, the controls are terrible, so I can't kill anyone." So
yep.
If there is a battle royale mode, that'll be the first complaint. Even just competitive multiplayer in general, that'll be the complaint, of course.
Yep.
But which I don't blame people for that. But I would like that. I think it'd be very cool if everyone spawned in this giant open world, maybe even just a portion of the open world, and they say there's a legendary grizzly somewhere in this map you have to go kill, and it's every man for himself type situation. So that'd be really cool. I'd be on board for that.
How many people would you put in that mode?
It depends on how big the map is. And I'm trying to think about how quickly you can get around in Red Dead. If you're on horseback, you can get around pretty quickly. Now, will you be on horseback? I don't think that's totally necessary for a game mode like this.
I can imagine that being really chaotic. There's like six people gather around a grizzly, and just whoever gets lucky enough to
I'm get thinking the final 12. Blow. I'm going to go Dying Light Bad Blood with this and say 12.
Well,
no, there's 8. There's 8 in Bad Blood.
Oh, yeah?
I think. Maybe it's 12.
I don't know what Bad Blood is.
Can't remember. It's Dying Lights in Battle Royale.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So.
Which you've played.
I have. Yeah, I wrote about that, and I was going to do a video version, but then I got caught up in all that other stuff. I still have that on my backlog to get that out.
Are you going to do it?
I might. It may be too late now. I don't know. No one's talking about that game either, so what's the point?
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I have all the VO recorded, and it took me like an hour to do that. I'm like, that'd be a waste of time and energy if I don't make the video version.
We'll see.
So, yeah, whatever. But Getsum, I love that idea. I think it sounds awesome.
I think that's cool, man.
Sam Harris writes in and says, "Guten Tag, Drake, Apio, and Alika." That was a horrible German accent.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, "All of this talk about Red Dead 2 is awesome and gives me hope for open world games in the future. Here's my question. What would game studios have to do to up the ante when it comes to immersion and creating a living, breathing AI world? And do you think advancements in game AI would help drive AI development in the real world? Y'all are sweeter than iced tea and by golly, have handsome faces. Now, auf Wiedersehen."
What does that mean?
I have no idea. Something in German.
You just read something, you don't know what it means?
Yeah, I don't know. I could have said something horrible.
Might have insulted someone.
Yeah, Sam Harris is one.
Might have insulted Hitler. Sam Harris is
one of the best men I know online.
Yeah.
I mean, I highly doubt he would say anything offensive in German.
What if that means Hail Hitler?
Hail Hitler is Hail Hitler.
No, I don't know.
Someone's going to cut out that snippet of me saying Hail Hitler and be like, it's obvious gaming's racist or anti-Semitic or something. Please don't do that. But Sam, thank you for your questions, always. I think Red Dead has the most immersive, one, world, but also immersive AI ever created. I've said that, obviously, in the review on this podcast, we've all said that at this point. But
yeah,
I think that really does set a new bar for immersion in open world games. Like, it's, I mean, I won't say it's going to be, it'll be hard to go back to other games. Like, I would still play Witcher 3 again in a heartbeat if I had the time to do so. And I wouldn't even think twice about the immersion in that game because I just love everything else about that game.
Yeah.
But if you want to make, like you said, quote unquote, a living, breathing AI world, like, I truly believe Red Dead Redemption 2 is the first game to truly live up to that statement.
It's a lot of work, it seems like.
Yeah, predominantly. Oh, yeah, of course. And imagine the money that went into it. And we've seen the years of development that went into it. So it's ridiculous how much work and time and money went into it. So
quick comment on that. I know you want to say something, but I don't know if it's going to be like worth it for every developer to do that for an open world game.
No, it won't. Yeah, definitely not. Not every open world game will have something like that going
forward. I
don't
know if it's necessary either, you know?
I think it's
a nice touch, right?
I think it's a huge necessity to make it feel like a living, breathing world. Like, I wouldn't say any game I've played before this, even games where, oh, like, these people go about their daily routines, like, none of those ever really felt like living, breathing to me where this one did. So if that's what you're going for, I think that AI intelligence is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Like, their memories, their reactions to things you do, the things they say that are rarely, if ever, repeated.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, dude, when you see the credits roll in this game, it will blow your mind how many people they cast in this game.
Yeah.
All those NPCs you see, dude, isn't just like the same, like Oblivion or Skyrim, for example. It's like the same 12 actors that are just recycled.
Yeah.
Every single one of them is a person. It's amazing.
Jeez.
Absolutely amazing.
Does it show like pictures or something?
No, it just shows all the names.
Okay.
Like, it never ends. It blew my mind. Like, multiple times playing the game out loud, I'd be like, whoa, or like, holy crap, or that was amazing, or that was cool. I was like shouting at the credits at how blown away I was at like everything they did. It was unbelievable.
Did you see someone you knew?
See someone I knew?
Yeah.
No, okay. I didn't read each individual name, but because there's obviously 1,000 of them. More than that, probably. There literally is more than that.
Well, I guess you're not very grateful if you're not going to read all the names.
Yeah, exactly. Just read them all and recite all of them out loud when I read them.
Yeah.
That would mean I really appreciate them. But that goes to show what it takes to create a truly living, breathing world, I think. Now, again, like you said, not every game needs that. I don't expect that of every game.
I don't think everyone has the funds to do that.
I think that the next game that will come closest to that will be Cyberpunk, more than likely.
Yeah.
But we will see. Time will tell.
I mean, I was impressed by the, what was it, last E3 when we got the demo? It was after that, right?
Yeah, the demo. It wasn't too long ago. It was a couple months ago.
Their Twitch channel, I think. But yeah. I was impressed by that. Thinking back on it, I guess we don't really know how immersive it truly will be, right? It's kind of hard just looking at a demo.
We've heard rumblings about stuff you can do in the world and everything, but yeah, we won't know until it's closer to release for sure.
Mm.
But Sam, those are my closing thoughts that I think the memory and intelligence of the AI and the reactions to you as the player and how the world itself reacts to you as a player is what really establishes a living, breathing AI world.
Well put.
So, and that's not me coming up with that on my own. I think that's just blatantly obvious with Red Dead. So, yeah, that's how I feel.
I have nothing to add.
Cool, man. Well, the rest of the community questions can be reserved for that actual section of the podcast. Moving on in news. And thank you all for your Red Dead questions. Those were fun. How do you feel about Destiny 2 and Activision's earnings call stating that we need more microtransactions because Forsaken, to nobody's surprise, didn't live up to sales expectations? How do you feel about this?
I'm not surprised.
Neither am I. I don't think anyone is.
I mean, I could have just told you, like, as someone who watches a lot of Twitch and people that stream the game, I could just tell that the game was underselling because of the attention it was getting on Twitch. Like, usually when a Destiny expansion comes out, it's top of the charts, like, for a week or so. But, It was like in maybe the top 10 throughout the Forsaken launch, and now it's, I don't even know if it's up there anymore. I mean, this is, a lot of people are saying this, and it's true. This is the best Destiny's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Forsaken's great. The raid is fantastic. The open, like the new zones are so good. They like evolved the zones over time. And there's so many things, like there's so many things to do in the game now. Like it's ridiculous. And there's like daily and weekly things to do. Like if you just want to play Destiny, you can do that now. Like that, it's there now. But people just got burned too many times at the end of the day.
I know, that's what's sad is that it took too long for them to really reach that point.
Yeah. And not only did they have Destiny 1, and that just bombed right out the gate. You know, then, you know, they had the redemption story of Taken King. You know, everything was good. Launch of Destiny 2, people were ecstatic, you know. It sold tons of copies. You know, a month passes, everyone's pissed off because there's nothing to do in the game. Mm-hmm. It was like a complete, like, 360 from, or is it 180? Is it 180? Is that the reverse?
Yeah.
Or would it be 360?
Yeah, well, 360 is a complete circle. So 180 is half. Right, 180 is the opposite.
Okay. Big 180. The game was too casual.
It was a big 900. It was a big 720 McTwist.
Yeah. See, it was too hardcore in Destiny 1 and not enough to do at the same time. Destiny 2, there was not enough to do and it was too casual. So now, you know, what do they do for Destiny 3? Can they get those people back? I don't know.
I don't know if they should do. I know Activision's last we heard was gung ho about continuing Destiny for at least a decade.
Yeah, it seemed like Bungie's happy with the reaction to Forsaken. Like everyone, all the developers are saying nice things. The community around Destiny loves Forsaken, but yeah. Activision, you know, at the end of the day, they need to make money, and they were disappointed with the sales.
Now it may have been nothing, but remember not too long ago we read that Bungie had filed a patent or something for a potential new IP.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they are in fact working on something brand new instead of Destiny, and maybe they'll just, like Activision wants to do, monetize the hell out of Destiny.
I think there were rumblings that I think Bungie, do they own or they're working with like a Chinese company or something, and that's what that IP is, or that
something like that.
That trademark is in terms with. I don't know. I'm not going to speak.
I don't remember the details.
But I think it's safe to assume they are working on Destiny 3 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
what will they do?
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I mean, there's been like rumors about what it's going to be about, but I don't really know enough.
I don't even care about what it's about, dude. I've never cared what any of them are about. I care about what you can do.
Apparently, they're going to try and add more RPG elements.
And I liked a lot of what you could do in the latter half of Destiny 1, and of course, most of the stuff you can do in Destiny 2. And I've yet to play Forsaken, but even the stuff I played prior to Forsaken, I enjoyed playing. So I imagine I'd like a lot of Forsaken. But even going into the third one, it's all about what can you do.
Yeah,
I mean, story is whatever. I mean, I've never been blown away by any of the stories in Destiny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I'm glad it's there. Yeah. Like, I'd much rather it be there than it not be there.
There's a pretty good story in Forsaken. Like, playing through the story and then, you know, progressing to the raid. Like, it's pretty satisfying. I never played the raid, but I've watched it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. What happens? You actually fight a dragon.
Big old dragon.
Raid. Huh? Yeah. It's the last boss.
I remember we would fantasize about fighting a space dragon back in the day, and I guess you actually do in Forsaken.
Yeah, yeah, it's huge.
Cool.
But I was going to say, for those that are, if you think you'll ever play Destiny 2 and you have a PC, you should download the game right now. It's free on Battle.net. Download it. You don't even have to download it. Just add it to your library. You'll have it forever.
Destiny 2 is?
Yeah. That's a good reason for you to download.
It's free right now?
Yeah, just add it to your library.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. You never know if you want to play it.
You're right.
Maybe it'll happen one day.
Man, I will, though.
No harm done.
Yeah, I don't think I will. Got too much to do through the end of the year, and then when the turn of the year happens, I got too much to do then too.
You have to do it by like next week or something.
All right, yeah, I think I'm going to pass on that, unfortunately.
Okay, that doesn't bother me.
And it's because of people like me that Activision wants to cram more microtransactions into Destiny 2.
Yeah,
which again, I really don't think hurts anyone. I mean, it's frustrating, but hopefully,
well, they've. One other thing they did in Forsaken is they've added ways to like buy those items now in the game. Like there's now a way to gather bright dust, which you need to purchase those things.
Yeah.
So they've made it much better.
Yeah. With the microtransaction thing, again, unless Bungie is forced, I'm not saying Activision's holding a gun to Bungie's head, but unless Bungie isn't influenced by Activision to change systems in the game to influence players to invest into more microtransactions. Hopefully it's just a situation where like, hey, you like all these cosmetic items? Well, here's a whole nother vendor with all kinds of more stuff you can buy if you want it.
Yeah. I mean, they saw what happened last year with the launch of Destiny.
Again, as long as it doesn't affect gameplay, I am never against microtransactions as long as they aren't affecting the gameplay in any sort of fashion whatsoever. So
I agree.
I mean, I know it sucks to hear that, and for the sake of Bungie too, it just sucks to hear it didn't live up to sales expectations. But
you know what sucks about Blackout's Black Market Pass?
What's that?
You can, like, there's 200 tiers to level up, and it's like Fortnite's, like, you level up, you get an item. Like, it's just like a tier list where if you just keep playing
now,
the game.
Now, is this something you're already a part
items.
Of when you play Blackout, or is
it
something
you
have signed up for?
You buy the game, it's like your progression system where you unlock shit, like skins, sprays, whatever. You can purchase every level of that tier list. Like, you can just buy all 200 levels with
how much
real
is
money.
That?
I don't know how much money it is. It's a good bit.
I bet it's $200 at least.
No, it's less than that. It's got to be. Yeah. It's probably like 50 or 100 bucks.
That's a lot of money.
I know. But, like, that just pissed me off because, like, that's kind of weird, right? Mm-hmm. You can just purchase all this stuff. Like, what if I can't get, like get to max level before the season ends? Because that's when they, like, they'll end
now,
it.
This
they'll
is all cosmetic, though, right?
Yeah, but... You know, like, there's some cool stuff in there that I want to get, but I don't want to pay for it, right? I want to earn it, but that's 200 levels, and the season ends in, like, 25
now,
days.
You've played a lot of Blackout. How often do you unlock stuff that you actually kind of like?
Depending if you're playing, like, multiplayer zombies or Blackout, it'll depend, but just, like, every three to five games, you'll unlock a tier.
Okay.
Last weekend was, like, double XP weekend, so it was a little quicker, but yeah.
All right.
So yeah, it's you're gonna have to play a ton to get all 200 lists or things, right? So they're kind of like incentivizing you to pay money, which, you know, it's smart on them, I guess, but it kind of sucks for the gamer, right? If you don't want to spend the money. So
yeah,
just having that moral dilemma right now, playing a lot of that game. So
hopefully you and I will be doing that here in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see.
I would like that.
Yeah,
Jacob, you want to talk about XO18 a bit?
Sure.
What does XO stand for? I know it's no Xbox
idea.
Something.
No idea.
Xbox onomatopoeia?
I don't know, Garrett.
Does onomatopoeia start with an A or no?
Oh.
That's what I thought.
I think.
So Xbox onomatopoeia 18.
Good one, man.
Yeah, so funny. Happened. And
it was in Mexico.
Nothing really stood out to me with the exception. I mean, I'm going to talk about the other stuff too, but nothing really stood out to me aside from Xbox officially acquiring Obsidian Entertainment and also Inxile, who developed a game called Wasteland, which I've heard of but haven't seen anything of.
Yeah.
And of course, Obsidian, as we know, did Fallout New Vegas and both Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I was unaware that Pillars of Eternity 2 sort of tanked commercially, according to Jason Schreier, due to... releasing around the same time as Divinity Original Sin 2, which I still would love to play so badly.
I hear Pillars of Eternity 2 is really good, though.
Maybe the week of Thanksgiving, which is literally next week, right?
Yes.
I have too much
Black
to
Friday will
I have
be
too
next
much to play.
Weekend.
It depresses me. I'd love to just get back into Divinity and just dive into like an open, like a deep RPG.
Yeah,
like
why don't
that
you play Persona 5, man?
I need to do that, too. Man, I want to play so many games, dude. Dude. What a sad, privileged life that is to be like, I have too many games to play that I can't play the ones I really want to play.
Yeah.
What a loser. That makes me a loser.
Stop getting games.
I know. Man. I'm so thankful, but also so sad about that. Anyway.
You figure it out.
So we'd heard rumors that Microsoft was going to acquire Obsidian, so that's pretty cool. Now, both of these companies... which I knew this about Obsidian. I didn't know this about Inxile, which I think I'm pronouncing that right. Like, instead of Exile, it's Inxile.
Yeah.
They both develop similar RPGs for PC. Now, Microsoft, now, a lot of this stuff I'm saying is all rumblings I've heard Jason Schreier mention in this specific article, but he makes good points when he says that both of them thrive in that ecosystem. Also, that they develop similar games, and he's making a point that... Maybe Phil Spencer, being the head of Xbox, is no longer interested in outselling or outperforming PlayStation, but rather is interested in doubling down on the PC market space, in addition to the player base they have on Xbox. So just combining forces of all the PC players, all the Xbox players, and just making killer games for both, obviously, Xbox and Windows.
That makes me happy.
So Preston's calling right now. Hopefully it's not anything important. Anyway.
We're in the podcast, guy. Come on.
Yeah. So maybe they'll be developing, and this is good for Obsidian too, because I remember even reading this in Jason's book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. I'll drop that quick nugget there again.
What if they collaborated to make a game? That could be an idea.
Maybe, yeah. If anything, both studios have the funding and time they need to develop something truly fantastic going forward. And we know, especially Obsidian's capable, because I heard Wasteland kind of sucks. I haven't seen anything of it. That's just what I've heard.
Yeah,
I've never heard Obsidian of it. Has made some killer games in the past. I've only played a bit of New Vegas. I haven't played Pillars of Eternity, but I hear great things about it.
Preston really likes it.
Yeah, so I look forward to see what they develop. Now, again, Playground Games may in fact be working on the next Fable, but part of me almost wishes that Obsidian would do it, because we've seen what they can do with New Vegas, for example, and even what they've done with Pillars of Eternity. I'd love to see them tackle the next Fable.
Sure.
But at this point, it may be too late, because I imagine that game's already well into development.
Maybe.
With whoever's working on it.
Who knows?
We assume it's Playground.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm excited for whatever Obsidian works on next, because
for sure. That's huge for Microsoft. They've acquired some gnarly studios.
Isn't it exciting
E3.
That Microsoft's doing this? Like, that's what they need. This is what we need. We need more competition in the industry.
I totally agree. It's awesome.
We need Microsoft to be on the same level as PlayStation, you know, and it's going to help both of them in return. We're going to get better games because of it.
And we know Game Pass is supposedly eventually making its way to PC as well. Yeah. And if I get to play some killer Xbox games on PC, dude, especially with that subscription, heck yeah, man.
Dude,
I'm down for that.
Put the new Halo on PC, I will love you, Microsoft.
I think that's a given at this point. I think that will undoubtedly be on PC launch.
Give me a Halo Battle Royale. Halo is prime for Battle Royale, dude.
I would
it's
agree.
Perfect.
I agree. Especially, think about the health perfect. System, too. Even the simplicity of the health system is already built for Battle Royale.
Then you can have overshields instead of armor. Yes.
Scorpions, Banshees,
put
Warthogs.
Snipers on the map.
Big team battle, but every man for himself on a large-scale map.
Put all the vehicles. Put it all in, dude. Mm-hmm. That's what Halo Infinite's got to be. Please.
A part of it, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, of course, you'll have your campaign, your multiplayer.
I think it's worth eating the negative and pessimistic comments from the gaming community as a whole. Like, another Battle Royale? But Halo is so built for that.
It's perfect, dude.
So, and of course, in addition to their killer competitive multiplayer that I've always loved.
Its simplicity would help it even, like just with its weapons and stuff.
343 has to know that, too.
Yeah, please do it.
There's some smart folks.
I don't say this about every franchise, just Microsoft, do it. Come on.
I'm down for that.
They're not going to hear this. This is just an echo in the woods. You know, it's just a whisper. But
yeah,
you know, you never know.
So that was a really cool announcement. Those the acquisition of those two studios, of course. But in addition to that, we got a Crackdown 3 trailer. I think we got a little gameplay too. It's coming out February 15th.
You know, confirmed. Like, I think they said February at E3.
Do you think this game is going to blow? How about not even that? Let's say it's a really fun game. Do you think it will be a commercial success?
No.
Neither do I.
What you mean commercial success in terms of it's only going to be on Xbox, right? So would that make it a commercial success being on one platform? I mean,
Xbox, do you think it will sell as much as their other exclusives, like Halo and Gears?
No. Unless there's something we don't know. Like, it's just incredible.
I don't know. The only time I was...
Weren't they showing the game?
The only time I ever had moderate interest in Crackdown 3 was when their first tech demo where they showed all the destruction in the game. And since then, I haven't really seen much of that.
How much gameplay have they shown? I don't even know what this is.
A decent amount here and there. It's a decent amount here and there.
I mean, I don't think I'm really paying attention
to it. It's out there if you want to see it.
Yeah, maybe I should, but I don't feel like anyone's talking about this game. And I don't think that's good.
No, it's not.
No one's like
now,
really itching to play it
in February, there's... Again, wait, did they say February 15th?
Yeah.
Dude, that's like days, that's like a week before all that other stuff comes out in February.
Well, Days Gone got moved, right?
Yeah, but Anthem, Metro, and like five other games, dude, they're doomed.
Anthem, like you said, Anthem.
Yeah, Crackdown's doomed, holy crap. I think at this point, Xbox is probably just like, just get it out. Just release it, finally.
Wasn't probably this how they like feel. Announced, it was announced when the Xbox One was announced, right?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
I can't remember if it was supposed to be a launch title. I don't think it was, but it was supposed to be like one of their flagship titles towards the beginning.
Yeah.
I think towards the beginning of the generation, it was supposed to be one of their flagship
titles.
It was
like Phantom Dust, State of Decay 2, mm-hmm. This.
Gears 4.
That Dragon game. What was it called? Scalebound.
Oh, yeah. All those canceled ones, too.
And that Fabled one, like you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, almost all those never came to be.
Man. They're bouncing back, though. They're doing some big stuff at Xbox.
Yeah.
They had a really exciting E3 conference this past year. I bet it'll even be more exciting E3 2019.
Yeah.
Speaking of killer Xbox exclusives and Windows 10, of course, Sea of Thieves is getting a new arena competitive mode, which sort of looks like Battle Royale, but it's pirate ships and everyone's battling each other on the seas.
Yeah.
This is sort of what I mentioned in my review when I talked about it. I think it needed stronger PvP and even just interaction in general. I wanted more reasons to interact with other players rather than just trying to kill them and take their treasure.
Yeah.
But this is a competitive mode where you have ship battles with other players.
I wonder how this game looks on my new PC, dude.
Probably very handsome, dude. Up at the 4K. Do you have a 4K monitor?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, at least in 2K, even that. Even in 1080p, that game looks impressive to me.
Yeah, that looks good.
So, yeah, but it looks awesome.
I'm not going to get it.
No. I still love the charm of that game.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 20 minutes while I'm playing out on the open seas and riding around with some buddies, it's pretty awesome.
The game is beautiful. Like, very beautiful. I will not deny that.
I like the music, too.
I just don't think it's...
And again, that Rare charm, and I mean literally and figuratively, like Rare the studio, that just has that charm to it and that humor.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I'm glad they're still supporting
it. It's a feel-good game. It's just a very boring game.
Yeah. I feel like one day, if they keep adding to it, it might be worth, you know, playing and investing in.
Of course. And admittedly, they did say that when the game launched. They're like, this is a game we hope to evolve over a period of years.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm not like saying that some people don't find enjoyment. I'm sure some people love the game. I just don't find any interest in it right now.
I've had my fill for the time being. We got a Kingdom Hearts Winnie the Pooh trailer.
Yeah, we did.
Which they called a Winnie the Pooh trailer, but it only had Winnie the Pooh in it for like the beginning and end. And it had a ton of other stuff in it that's worth talking about.
Yeah, like Big Hero 6, yeah. Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Tangled trailer?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
the all their trailers are the same. They just play that song in the middle of it every time.
One of the top comments mocking people to say this, it was like, Kingdom Hearts is not for kids. It's like the most childish trailer ever. But I loved it so much. I'm so excited for it.
You excited?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pumped, dude. I cannot.
Dude, I adore Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to replay them like you did.
Watch a video,
I have
man.
Such fond memories of those first two games, so I am very excited for this.
Make sure you know what's going on before you go in.
I will.
I implore you. It'll make you enjoy it.
I couldn't give
more.
A rat's ass about anything other than the first two games.
That's all that matters, dude.
Okay, good. Then I'm
caught
up.
And the prequel is important.
The prequel can blow me, okay? It's, and my Keyblade.
It's important, dude. You're going to see characters that you don't know if you don't, like, watch.
Yeah, well, they can shove it, okay? I didn't know who Roxas, who do you play as at the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2?
It's Roxas.
Roxas, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know who that bastard was, and I got over it afterwards.
You don't even know who Aqua is, do you?
No.
Yeah, she's really important.
Is she the blonde?
She's the one with the blue hair.
Yeah. I watched you play as
her.
She
was in one of the new trailers? It was in the 2.8 final chapter prologue.
Fuck the titles.
What a bad title.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But
Kingdom Hearts 2.8 final prologue. I don't know.
It's like Birth by Sleep final prologue 3 part 2 or something.
Birth by Sleep is the name of the prequel. You should play that. Or you should watch a video. You're not going to play it. I know you're not.
I will watch. I guarantee you IGN or someone's going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get caught up on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yes.
Like right before it comes out, and that's how I'll find out.
You know, get a meal, sit down and watch that.
For sure.
It's going to be a lot, though. So get ready.
Definitely. In other news, Jacob, we got some movie news actually today, which I'm glad we delayed this podcast by a day for these reasons.
Yeah,
we talked
out.
About this stuff. The Detective Pikachu trailer.
That looks strangely good.
It looks really good. I mean, just cinematically, the way it's shot and the visual effects look excellent on the Pokemon specifically.
Ryan Reynolds.
I like the look of the city. And Ryan Reynolds, of course, is Ryan Reynolds. But yeah. I like the idea that you get also classic Pikachu because no one else can understand Ryan Reynolds except for the lead actor.
Pika Pika.
Yeah. So I like the idea of Pokemon living among people in this futuristic city.
Yeah.
And then Pikachu being a literal detective. And I think we'll get some really nostalgic Pokemon tidbits here and there. Because the main story seems like they say at the beginning, like the police chief or something's like, your dad was a great detective. And like, I know you wanted to be a Pokemon trainer. And the guy's like, well, yeah, it didn't really work out. So I think in the midst of this kid looking for his missing father, it seems, with Pikachu, maybe he learns to become like a real Pokemon trainer.
Yeah, maybe like has an encounter with like a real trainer.
You know,
like
I was going to say, I'm hoping to see like an underground Pokemon battle or something between two Pokemon. How awesome would that be?
Because we've never like been in the Pokemon world, I don't think, and like, and like live a story action of a guy who's not a trainer. Right. You always play as a trainer.
So, I mean, it's the concept alone is ridiculous. Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
And it's live action. Mm-hmm. Of all the Pokemon movies to be produced at this scale and with this type of budget, it's this.
Yeah, I didn't
expect
this.
But I think because
this
of that, it'll be really successful.
I don't think anyone expected what this is.
No, I don't know.
Or what the trailer at least makes
was
it
out to
be.
Was that Jigglypuff who looked pissed on that table in the trailer?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Psyduck looks crazy.
He does. It looks amazing. Dude, I was laughing hysterically on the way home because I was so bored. Do you ever get to a point where you exhaust all music you know of and you just don't feel like listening to music?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I'm in one of those moods right now, actually.
Yeah, so I didn't listen to any music and just out of nowhere, I'm at a stoplight and I just go, Jigglypuff.
You freak.
Jigglypuff. Just laughing hysterically at the stoplight.
You need to sleep.
I sing like Jigglypuff for like 30 minutes, dude. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard. The thing about how ridiculous that is and how cute Jigglypuff is, and I think they're intentionally...
I don't think Jigglypuff's cute.
It looks like they're making Jigglypuff like a pissed off some kind of character.
It's a nice callback to the anime.
Mm-hmm. Which is really funny.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I'm with you. I hope I love see the look some of sort it, of though. Battling. Yeah. And I'm sure we will.
I'm so excited to see that now. That trailer was very impressive.
Yeah. I hope it does well. It's actually looks
I mean, it is
really
jarring good to see Ryan Reynolds' voice coming out of a furry Pikachu, which Pikachu looks adorable. But
Ryan Reynolds is great.
Yes, but I'm so on board for it. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I got a good feeling about it.
Didn't Ryan Reynolds used to be like a joke? Like, didn't everyone used to make fun of him?
I don't know about that, but he was a very successful like romantic comedy actor back
then. Maybe
in the
that
day.
Was it.
And then he kind of had a very low period, raising a lot of bad movies. And I think he did a couple dramas, too.
And then he just had like a
that
resurgence.
Tanked. Yeah, and he resurged with Deadpool. It was like his resurgence. And
was it Deadpool? I thought it was something before that.
Yeah, well, it was Green Lantern, but that tanked. And God, that was also a bad
don't
sign.
Don't remind me of that.
But then Deadpool is what really brought him back.
Remember when we went to go see that opening night?
I remember that. And you had the shirt and everything.
Yeah, dude, I was excited.
Those who worship darkness might or something. It's like, beware my power. Green Lantern, that is a cool catchphrase.
Yeah.
Green Lantern's light.
It's cheesy as hell.
Yeah, that movie sucked, dude. Holy crap. It's one of those few occasions, like Last Jedi, I'll throw in there. It's that right when I left, I was like, that movie was not very good.
Okay, Last Jedi is not as bad as that movie. No, come on.
I'm just kidding, but similar to that, even when I left Last Jedi, I immediately knew I didn't like most of it.
I knew when I saw Last Jedi that with The Force Awakens, I was like, really jazzed about it. But when I walked out of The Last Jedi, I was like, something feels weird.
Yeah, something doesn't
feel
right here.
I didn't want to admit it, but that was the case.
Yeah.
Because it's Star Wars. You don't want it to be bad. And I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not great.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Ryan Reynolds. But
Yeah, excited to see it.
You see the Toy Story 4 teaser trailer?
I did. There's not really much there. It's a new character.
Yeah, Forky or something?
some crafted toy.
Yeah.
Guess that was just his introduction.
Now, what I've read about, you know, like Tim Allen and Tom Hanks commenting on recording the voice acting for this movie, have said it's just emotionally draining and just incredible.
How much more emotional can it get after 3?
I know. That's what I'm wondering. I have no idea.
Yeah, Andy's not in
this, right? I'm wondering if they'll do a time jump and somehow Andy reacquires his toys and Andy's child plays with the toys
burns
forever.
Them. Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. He has a kid, yeah.
Because I'm wondering if we'll get just this little girl at the end of Toy Story 3 and it's her toys now. That's what we assume, but I'm wondering if there'll be a time jump and it's about Andy getting his old toys back. And or maybe them finding a way back to Andy. Andy's all grown up, has a family and children, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Andy getting his toys back for his children.
I bet it is.
I get the feeling that's what it is. Because think about this. Toy Story 3 came out right around the time we were all going to college, just like Andy. It was like perfect timing. I couldn't believe how it lined up like that. And that's, I think that's why it was so emotional for a lot of people, especially our age.
Yeah.
But think about how many of us now, people our age, not you and I, obviously, but people our age, a lot of our friends are married or are getting married. And beyond that, many of the people we went to high school with have children.
Yeah.
So imagine how effective it would be for them being like, oh, my old toys, like my kids can play with them.
That would be emotionally.
Yeah, that's my prediction.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that's the case. But Of course, I love seeing those characters.
Is this going to be the last one? Last Toy Story?
I would hope so. Like, four already makes me nervous because three was so good. Yeah. And it was the perfect ending, I feel like. But I'm hoping it's the last one. But again, I can't get enough of those characters. I love them so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and it was great to see them. So I look forward to it.
Yeah. And it's coming out like, what, June 22nd or something like that? What's the date?
June something like that. June 19th. I'm saying 19th. Tell me if I'm right.
I think I'm right. The 22nd.
I'm saying 19th.
What's the movie called? Toy Story. Toy Story 4.
Type in release date.
No, I didn't do that.
And that'll give you your answer.
I'll just go to the IMDb. How about that?
That's a horrible place. That's like the Wikipedia of movie stuff.
Listen, bud. Oh, June 21st. We were both wrong. Dang, I was off by a day. You were off by two.
Okay, you were closer. You win.
Yeah, I'm better.
Yeah, you're a better person than me because of that.
That proves it.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So.
Leave it in the comments below. Let me try that again. Comment down below if you're going to go see Toy Story 4 this summer. Or, yeah. I guess it would be next summer.
What crazy person would not go see that?
Someone who doesn't like, you know, happy things. Someone who doesn't like toys. Someone who has a black hole as a heart.
Probably.
Yeah, just a few examples.
Yeah, but let us know for sure. And let us know your thoughts on Detective Pikachu, too.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty excited for that.
Or anything that we've talked about.
Lastly, Jacob Stanley's dead. Moving on to community questions.
Oh, my God. You bastard.
That's very sad.
It was so sad. I was just finishing up my work today, and then I get on my phone to check social media after a long day of work, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah,
no.
It took the world by storm there.
But yeah, apparently he was sick, or he's had some trouble.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of videos he's uploaded on social media, you could tell he was banging on death's door, dude. Like, holy crap, he is old. But, of course, it's very sad, but...
I think I read that his wife might have died a year prior.
Really?
So...
I've heard stories that he's gone through some weird stuff with his daughter and, like, these people that are trying to steal his money and, like, his empire or something. Really weird stories I've read about recently. I don't know what's true and what isn't.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, it killed him, essentially, I guess. But
he was 95.
That and his old age and his potential sickness, I guess. I haven't read the details of how exactly he died, but it is sad. He created an unbelievable...
he touched so many people.
...array of characters along with everyone else involved at Marvel Comics back in the day and really changed the face of entertainment, at least for superheroes and that medium of entertainment especially.
Yeah.
And see how it's impacted the world of a lot of things, especially... cinema at the moment. Yeah,
he's created so much happiness for so many people.
He has created one of the greatest characters of all time, Hawkeye.
Hawkeye, yeah. That's one of them.
Spider-Man
is great.
At least he went out at the peak of his creations, of the peak of their success, I would say, specifically in video games and movies. I feel like Spider-Man's more successful than ever.
Sure.
So, and more beloved than ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like... I mean, obviously, he's involved with the creation of many characters, but I feel like Spider-Man's always been, like, the character.
Yeah. They just keep rebooting him. They just can't get enough
of him. Yeah, so he went out on top.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
He'll definitely be remembered. It's a sad day.
For sure. I still wish he could have narrated the new Spider-Man game, or, like, maybe a DLC or something.
Yeah.
Greetings, true believers!
Was he in the Spider-Man game?
He was.
Yeah, I thought I saw him.
I imagine.
Make sure I wasn't crazy.
No, I've heard rumors that he filmed cameos for a ton of Marvel movies that have yet to come out.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I'll still have a cameo in Captain Marvel and Avengers Part 2 of Infinity War, Avengers 4, I should say.
Dude, that's... I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Maybe
movie.
Even movies after that. I don't know.
Are you ready for the next Avengers, Garrett? Are you going to be able to handle it?
Latest headlines have said that it's potentially... The current cut is 3 hours. I hope it remains that way.
Yeah.
I hate when they cut out stuff that could still be in there. I will sit through 4 hours of Avengers, dude. Just give it to me.
Give me all of it.
I'll get all the snacks in the world. I'll pee my pants if I have to.
It's going
to
be a very emotional end. You know that.
Oh,
right?
For sure. I want it to be emotional.
We're going to be saying goodbye to a lot of characters.
It will be dissatisfying if I'm not in some way... upset about the loss or change of a character by the end.
Yeah.
I think it's time for something huge to happen in the MCU, and it's going to happen in Avengers.
This is like the end of like an era.
It is.
This is the MCU. It's made so much money.
Mm-hmm. It's all about the money.
It is.
But to see where the stories and the characters go post Avengers 4 will be really interesting.
And perhaps there'll be new characters taking the mantles of, you know, heroes that might not make it. We'll see. I don't know.
We're going to find out very soon, less than a year, roughly 6 months away.
Yeah, there's no way like the MCU is dying. Like, it's going to keep going, obviously. Mm-hmm. There'll be new movies.
Like, I'm sure Kevin Feige has every intention to keep it going for as long as possible.
Yeah. And if not him, then someone else will. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, we, of course, pray for Stan Lee's family and friends during this hard time, I can only imagine. Of course, the world, many people in the world are grieving too. Yeah. I mean, I've never been, of course, that attached to Stan Lee or his legacy or anything, but of course it bums me out thinking about what a cool dude he was.
You always have like a...
And the impact he's had on entertainment and a lot of his characters I also adore, so it's pretty sad.
Yeah, you always had like that unsaid appreciation of what he's created.
For sure.
Because you know, everyone knows who Stan Lee is.
Yeah.
Like, if you know anything about superheroes, you know who that guy is. Mm-hmm. So, he was definitely an important guy.
Absolutely. But Jacob, we've reached the latter half of this podcast, my personal favorite side, called Community Questions.
Oh, boy.
I say we wrap this up in style, in fashion, Jacob, with the remainder of our questions we left out of the Red Dead segment earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want your questions read on this show or ask IOG, you can read it. Reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. All that being said, if you want your question read on the show publicly, always include the hashtag AskIOG in your message so we know you want it read alive to the world. All that out of the way, let's read some, Jacob. First one comes from Josh Scriber. The one I cut off earlier, forgive me, Josh. Josh says, "Hey guys, hope you all had a productive week balanced with Red Dead 2. Do you all think the Call of Duty vs. Battlefield wars are good or bad solely for the competition of the series? I say the wars are a good thing. Some anonymous person once said, quote, there is no such thing as friendly competition. The silly and cringy arguments that flood YouTube and the internet forums show how popular the two series are. They teach players about both games. And the unnecessary hate fired back and forth is just comedy for people like me."
So what's his main question here?
Do you think the wars between, for example, Call of Duty and Battlefield, between the fandoms, and specifically even with consoles, for example, do you think it's a good thing or bad thing for the sake of competition for them both?
I know a lot of people might get annoyed by just the constant, you know, babbling from both sides at times, but I think it's important to have this. I think it's pretty healthy competition. I mean, they're two major, you know, shooter franchises. I think maybe one day they're not always going to, I don't think those will be the only two. Like the end of time, obviously, right? Like those are the two big ones right now. But I feel like Call of Duty is typically no one else sells Call of Duty, right? I mean, Call of Duty always sells the most.
I mean,
so it's
on,
more
on an annual basis, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm really trying to say here, I'm gonna be honest.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, it is funny. Like he said, I do think it's funny to see the arguing back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, like each game does things better than the other, right? So, I mean, it's...
And they also have different goals as well.
It's like Battlefield's always been a lot more about, you know...
The large-scale immersive warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a large player
and
base.
Vehicular
destruction,
combat.
Yeah, and vehicles in there. This and is squads like, specifically. Squads
yeah,
are a big
part
of it.
That's why I'm excited to see their Battle Royale. It's like, how are they going to be different from Call of Duty?
Mm-hmm.
And they've seen what, you know, Blackout
has
done.
It's similar to Halo. It's almost primed for a Battle Royale, so... Whereas Call of Duty was like a whole new thing for Call of Duty, and it works so well. So that's why I hope that Battlefield does something great, too. I want to have options.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't see it as a bad thing, but I agree with you, Josh. It is hilarious at times.
Yeah.
For sure.
I've always been much more in line with the Call of Duty fandom, I guess.
I, too, I think at the end of the day, gun to my head, choose one or the over the other, I'd probably go with Call of Duty, but I do love me some Battlefield.
I did really like Battlefield 3. I had some good times with that.
Battlefield 3, Bad Company 1 and 2 for me, and Battlefield 1 I really got a lot out of as well.
Battlefield 1 was good.
Mm-hmm. But me and Zach and all them played a ton of Battlefield 3 for a while.
Zach's little brother, we used to play all the time.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
We used to squad up.
Mm-hmm. Squad up! Jacob Walters writes in, forgive me, Jacob, I meant to read this while we were talking about Kingdom Hearts 2 earlier. But Jacob says, what's up, you beautiful bitches? What's the deal with these Kingdom Hearts? What's the deal with these Kingdom Hearts games? I literally have no clue what they're about. I think they look cool, but I would like some persuasion into buying them. Keep up the good shit.
Like Garrett, I don't think you should buy all these games unless you buy, they just released like a final package of like all the games, I think. So if you want to play through them all, that's your opportunity. I can't tell you how many times they've released these games. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the PS4 collection is a good collection to pick up.
Yeah.
Give him a short pitch of what Kingdom Hearts is so he has an idea of what he's getting into.
Basically, Kingdom Hearts is a story of a kid on a tiny island that is chosen to be the wielder of the Keyblade. And he has to fight back the
darkness.
Yeah, the darkness, basically.
Oh, yeah, heartless.
And save the world. And not to mention that his friend slash lover, Kairi, is taken away from him, so he has to go save her with the help of his friend Riku.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the synopsis.
But it's essentially Final Fantasy meets Disney.
Yeah, basically.
Where you travel from Disney World to Disney World, yeah, meeting all these famous characters and helping them fight the Heartless out of their own worlds.
Yeah, and saving, you know, the princesses and whatnot to, in the first game.
And you get to explore all these. I don't know if you're a Disney fan, but Jacob and I are big Disney
fans. Yeah,
if Disney
you're a fans. Disney fan, this is the perfect game.
Yeah, because you're exploring all these Disney worlds you've come to know and love throughout your life, and you're running around in them and fighting bad guys and meeting all these famous characters. Yeah. And in the meantime, I know it's very confusing. If I wanted to, I couldn't describe to you the story of Kingdom Hearts, but somehow I understand it because I've played both of them.
Yeah. If you don't want to play through all the games, do what Garrett's going to do. Watch a video when it's getting close to Kingdom Hearts 3 and learn what you need to know.
But I think the highlights are the colorful, exciting, intense combat, the music especially, the characters, and it's just... That combination does it for me in Kingdom Hearts, so that's why I'm excited about the next one. A lot of fun mini games too, I might add.
Yeah,
I know. Right. I know the term mini games doesn't sound very appealing to some people, but when you're in a Disney-fied world, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, fighting alongside Hercules or whatever it might be,
or even Woody and Buzz in Kingdom Hearts 3.
I'm excited.
So that'd be awesome.
But yeah,
that's the basic pitch, Jacob. I hope that appeals to you because it appeals to us.
Yeah, thanks for your question.
Mm-hmm. And it's not for kids.
How dare you?
Bojangles 954, Mr. Kyle. Bojangles writes in and says, y'all think Elon Musk. You guys think Elon Musk is going to help genetically engineer cat girls? Since he's already declared he's a fan of anime on Twitter multiple times, I think it's inevitable. If you had $10 million to make one thing possible, what would it be? First, will he make cat girls? Maybe if he feels like it. I remember him tweeting about that.
If I were to make one thing possible, I'd probably have a boring answer, like the ability to travel in space, like safely, or something like inventing like flying transportation. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have to sit in traffic anymore.
Like an airplane?
It's like, you know, like I can get up and just go somewhere, anywhere I want, just fly.
That like a magic carpet.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay.
Traffic sucks, dude. I hate traffic.
Dude, what about some like rocket boosted boots, dude?
That would work.
I mean, what about like a hoverboard, dude?
There we go. Give me in the air. Hover car, whatever it is.
What if it's raining?
Just put the hood up, you know?
Okay.
You wear a visor if you're hover booting. Rocket booting.
Hover booting.
Or maybe we put grind rails all over the city and we do Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, that kind of like Sunset Overdrive too.
Yeah, which is coming to PC apparently.
Ratchet and Clank?
No, Sunset Overdrive.
Oh, I heard that game's awesome,
dude.
I've heard it's kind of cool.
They made your Spider-Man game.
Yeah, I'm stoked for Spyro. Doesn't Spyro come out today? As of Tuesday?
If it comes out Tuesday, then yeah.
Let's look at it real quick.
I'm not getting it.
I'm playing the hell out of that.
I played that game like 20 years ago. I had my fill then.
This is remastered beautifully, Jacob.
Yeah, I've seen the gameplay. It looks good.
Ring Art Trilogy.
I just don't have time right now.
November, tomorrow, Tuesday. So it is out.
The day this goes live. Wow.
Awesome, dude. So excited for that.
Will that be one of your first games you return to after your schooling?
I have a lot to do, but I will dabble in that, yes, for sure.
Okay. So you're going to play like 20 minutes?
Probably.
And just put it down?
Yeah. Okay. No, no, I'm going to finish at least the first game.
Did you play through all the Crashes? Did you buy the
No, Crash? No, I'm not that interested in Crash.
Did you buy the Crash?
No, I did not. What would I do with $10 million to make possible? Dude. Maybe I'd make like a full VR simulation thing you can play in.
That's what you would do with $10 million? Make a VR simulation?
Where you run around and your whole body is reactive to whatever you're playing. Essentially, Gamer, the movie.
Okay.
Is what I would do.
Would you like, what was that VR movie that came out? What was it called?
Gamer?
Ready Player One?
Oh, that movie.
Yeah, what if you just did that?
Sure.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do that.
You're not really inspiring me here.
Maybe I would. I would. You know what? I'd keep
you
all that money.
Cancer.
I'd quit school. I'd quit all my jobs and just catch up on all the video games I want to play. That's what
I
would do. And I would enjoy that
bills.
$10 million for at least the next 20 years.
I can respect that.
I'd invest in a few things I need to invest in to keep it afloat.
You would never miss anything.
Mm-mm.
You would just be set.
Yeah. I would become a gluttonous, disgusting hog and just play games. I would be a fat bastard playing video games for the next decade.
Yeah, that's all you do?
Yeah.
You would just you would get your fill out of that just playing games?
You remember Ben Stiller at the end of Dodgeball?
Yeah.
He's all fat and grotesque.
I do,
that
yeah.
would be me.
Wow.
If
he had some good food. I was envious of some
chicken
of his
tenders.
Food. Yeah, you said chicken tenders like tuck in his rolls, yeah. man. Sometimes I wish I had rolls to tuck food in.
Dodgeball is a great film.
It is. It's funny.
You lose, LaFleur. I wouldn't sell your gym back for all of King Midas's silver.
You do a good impression
lines.
Of him.
It's his.
You could probably do a good Ben Stiller dodgeball like. Halloween costume or cosplay or something.
That'd be a good costume.
You,
I'm not jacked enough.
Kinda,
he looks really yeah. good in that movie.
I mean, if he was beefed up a little bit.
Yeah. That is a goal of mine to exercise a lot over the holiday break because I have a lot of extra time.
It's a good goal.
I need it. Not even just for the sake of looks, just for my health. I need to exercise more.
Yeah. I implore you to.
I'm going to eat some celery and run a mile every day.
Fun fact, we've been having a lot of vegetable platters at my house.
Yeah.
I've been eating a lot of celery and other vegetables. They're good.
Your water sticks?
Yes. Celery's gross.
Dude, I love
like
dipping
it.
Celery in buffalo sauce.
Yeah.
You ever had that?
I mean, I'm sure it's not bad.
You ever get celery with your wings and you dip it in
like
buffalo
celery.
Sauce?
I don't like celery.
But if it's dipped in something, it's pretty good.
I still don't eat it. But I eat it like I'm forcing myself to eat it right now. And it's just, it tastes like water, yeah.
Your water sticks.
It's exciting.
I like veggie platters. Yeah. You know, if I had a veggie platter in my house every week, I'd eat a lot more veggies.
Tell your mom.
It's a visual
go get
thing
some.
Too, because veggie platters look appealing. I just want to touch all the vegetables and dip them and stuff.
And you know what else? They make you feel guilty if you don't eat some of it.
They do.
It's like you better eat some of that.
There
platter.
May be a chicken nugget plate there, but there's also a veggie plate.
Yeah,
so maybe I should scoop up some of these carrots and broccoli.
You make sure you get
nuggets.
some nugs, but you know, don't forget the veggie platter.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell my mom that, dude. I think that's the key to me eating healthier.
Okay.
Because I'll go to town on a bag of pretzels or chips.
But now you got a veggie platter.
There's a veggie platter in the house, dude. I will eat that instead.
There you go.
So, Kyle, thank you for your question.
I hope this time next week, you know, maybe you'll have a veggie platter and we can talk about it.
Yeah. We'll compare our platters.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's on mine.
Okay. Will you show me what's on yours, dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a sexual way.
Can we film it?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We won't show it to anyone. We'll just
yeah,
do
just
it for
be
ourselves.
For, you know, for fun.
Yeah, yeah. Just a couple of guys having a good time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Carlos Perez writes in and says, can we get an IOG Smash community night when the game drops? F yeah.
I like that.
We will be doing that.
Mm.
100%. We should get some more pizzas. Maybe we'll get a veggie platter for the stream.
I like pizza more. But when I think of a stream gear, I don't think of veggie platters.
What if we got both? Is it too much to ask for both?
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
As long as we have pizza.
We just talked about balancing our nuggets with our veggie platters. We gotta balance our pizza with a veggie platter.
I like pizza though, you know.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll get some more beverages. I'll get slightly tipsy and laugh my ass off the entire time.
Jiggly, Jigglypuff.
That's who I'm gonna play as.
Oh my god. I think she can, or he or she, I don't want to discriminate Jigglypuff.
I don't care what anyone says, Jigglypuff's a girl.
It can be either or, I'm just saying. But I think you can put people to sleep when you play as him or her.
You can.
So
that's one of her powers.
And you could sing while you do that.
Mm-hmm. So you can count on it.
There you go.
I cannot wait to play that with the community. It's going to be fun.
I'll play Kirby, and I'll suck you in. Spit you out and just
you're
put you to
suck
sleep.
Me?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to suck you, dude. Suck you real good.
That sounds so hot, dude. I think our big finale is with Bear Commando.
Oh, I'm so excited. Bear Commando, what's up?
Back at it again. Bear Commando writes in and says, hey, guys, it seems like Nintendo has officially posted job listings for work on the next major Zelda game.
Oh.
Sounds like the game is already in the design phase and moving forward. What are you guys expecting the next one to look like? I personally predict a return to the classic structure rather than a full-on open world, as they probably don't want to compete with Breath of the Wild. I also predict that they go super cartoon with the art. What do y'all think?
Garrett, what do you think?
I will say this. The only traditional Zelda games I've played, I guess really the only one is Ocarina of Time. At least the third-person games.
Yeah.
But I did finish Wind Waker, but that's a little more open worldy than, of course, Ocarina of Time is.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as this classic Zelda game, I mean, that sounds cool to me. I haven't played many of them, so I can't quite attest to if I'd love it or not. But according to what Preston likes about Zelda games, I'm sure many classic Zelda fans would be on board for that. And I also like the idea of a super cartoony art. I'd like to see a return, not to, of course, the same art as Wind Waker, but in that realm.
Yeah.
Like something really unique like that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'm not the biggest Zelda fan, honestly.
I love me some Breath of the Wild, though. I had a lot
of
fun
with
that.
Breath of the Wild is great. I loved it. I think I picked it as my game of the year, actually.
I was the only guy who picked Horizon.
Yeah, I said I was going to do Horizon, then I backed out. But they were both great games.
Mm-hmm.
So I've only played Breath of the Wild. But, you know, having said that, I would like to see maybe another story told with that those assets or that engine. I think that could work out pretty well.
Yeah.
I would also like to see maybe a 2D Zelda experience on the Switch. That would be kind of cool. But overall, I typically don't really care what they do next. Having played a Zelda now, having that under my belt, I definitely do want to play the next one. Because, you know, like I said, I picked it as my game of the year. I really enjoyed that experience. And I would like a more, you know, a better narrative probably next time, you know, when playing Zelda. Because, you know, Breath of the Wild was great, but it was kind of just, you know.
Save the princess. Well, you weren't really saving Zelda, because Zelda, in a way, was doing more than you were the entire time. Now, yeah, you do a exactly. lot as Link, but she was, like, repressing all evil the entire time.
Yeah. I just want some more involvement in terms of, like, other characters and stuff. Like, Breath of the Wild was very lonely.
Yeah. But, which was for that reason, it kind of appealed to me because of that. But I also would like a little more rustle and bustle here and there.
Yeah, just something a little more structured, maybe. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, Bear Commando, I like the idea of both things you said, like a more structured, traditional Zelda experience with a unique art style. Sounds awesome to me.
Yeah.
What do I think they'll do? I don't know. It's hard to say because they had a lot. I feel like even Breath of the Wild appealed to a broader audience because of the open world aspect.
Yeah.
Now, I can't see Nintendo with Zelda in particular doubling down on open world back to back. But I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anything I hope for is a unique art style. Again, that'd be awesome.
Same Z's.
But Jacob, that's it, man. That was 177.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
Yeah, a couple things. Again, we apologize for the delay. It will not be delayed next week.
Are you sure about that?
It will not. No.
When are we doing it?
I'm not sure which day yet. I work the entire weekend, but regardless, we will figure out an afternoon we can do it.
All right.
We will have it out on time.
You've said it, so it shall be.
And secondly, I know I can't speak for Jacob or Preston, but I've been very quiet on Discord because I've been, again, so busy for the last several weeks. But again, after Thursday, I will have a little more free time. I'm going to stream here and there when I can and do some video stuff for the channel, notably with the cinematic web swinging. I don't have an exact date on when all this is coming, but it is going to happen. I hope to have some blackout highlights with Jacob. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be
stuff
cool.
Stuff like that. And so I'm pumped to invest more time into It's Obvious Gaming. We appreciate your support so much, as always. Even when we are hardly doing anything and when we're late with the podcast, your support is greatly appreciated.
Yep. Thank you guys for sticking around and, just listening to us babble.
Yeah,
we always appreciate it.
Jacob and I have been sitting in a tavern lighting, we meant to say at the beginning. The lights are off. We're lit by candles and Christmas lights in this room.
I was drinking a mug of peppermint mocha coffee. And it was delicious.
I ain't about putting peppermints in anything but my toothpaste.
It was so good.
And mints.
Yeah, I know you're weird about peppermint.
Yeah, you squeeze some toothpaste in your coffee and drink it.
Oh, I got to brush my teeth somehow, right? Yeah. You know, coffee makes your teeth brown, but if you put peppermint in it, it crosses it out, you know?
Totally.
So you're good.
Okay.
It's like drinking water.
Right.
So they say.
Yeah.
To each his own.
Yeah.
When in Rome.
Touche.
I can't think of it anymore.
It was a pleasure as always, Jacob.
Yep. I had a good time chatting with you, bud.
I love you to bits. I love the community, and I look forward to next episode and the next episode. And I hope you guys have a wonderful week of gaming.
Yep. Peace, everyone.
Goodbye.